Book of Job has been a great book of consolation to the saints down through the centuries. I believe the Lord allowed Job to go through this for our benefit. Of course, he did benefit from it. We understand and realize that. The Lord always does that personally in our lives. It brings troubles and tribulations to benefit us. But in the larger scope or picture, in the experience of Job, God has blessed his people ever since that with the things that Job went through. We want to preach upon a thought this morning or this afternoon about the great consolation that we have in our God in the times of tribulation. I think we've seen several messages during the conference this time that have dealt with the great God that we serve and the great wonderful blessings that God has in bestow of those who will trust in Him. And even Brother Gordon's message about the ship on the sea and how he likened that to the tribulations of life and how the Lord's with us and we're going to get to the other side no matter what this world throws at us or what we experience in this life. So we invite your attention to the book of Job, the 23rd chapter. We want to read a few verses of Scripture here, starting in verse 8, and read down through verse 10. 23rd chapter of Job, verse 8. It says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." Job is talking about his God, about the Lord, the one that he trusts in. And then he says in verse 10, he says, "But I know, or he knoweth the way that I take, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Amen. I believe Job's experience does teach us a great and wonderful truth, that it doesn't matter how righteous you are, how God-fearing you are, that you're never going to be exempt from troubles and tribulations. Amen. Sometimes we forget that, though, when troubles come into our lives, don't we? Sometimes we think that we're serving the Lord, that things ever ought to go smoothly with us. The Lord ought to subdue all of our enemies. The Lord ought to overcome all of our difficulties. The Lord ought to make that path smooth before us. But our Heavenly Father knows what's best for us, and a rough road many times is the best way to go, because we can learn more of Him and more of the truths of His Word in that way.
Amen.
We find that Job was a righteous man. We know that. All you have to do is look in the first chapter of the book of Job, and you'll find that God said about Job that there's not a man on earth like him. He's a man that feareth God, a man that escheweth evil, an upright man. He says he's one of the best that I've got on the earth. And yet we find that Job probably was one of those that suffered more than any saint that is written about in the Word of God. One moment of time, he was the richest man in all the East. And then he was plummeted to the very depths of poverty. You'll find that he was an individual who was rejoicing in his children one day, but before that day was over with, he was sorrowing in great despair because of the violent death that they died. We find that he was a man that had great honor and great prestige in the land. And yet before his experience was over with, we find that he was made a derision. They mocked at him and they laughed at him, those that would even fear to walk in his shadow beforehand. We find that he was an individual that had health. But yet we find that before this was over, that he was racked with pain and ravished with disease. And he had no earthly comfort. His children were dead. His wife even turned upon him and said, "In all of this, do you still retain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die?" He had no earthly comfort. Even the three friends that came to him in the time of his great suffering, they came to comfort him, but instead they just added to his misery. Job had done nothing to his understanding that he had done wrong. He hadn't sinned against the Lord and was secretly hiding and coveting things within his heart that he should not have. And yet they all accused him of being a hypocrite. And they all told him, he said, "Job, if you just confess your sins, God would deliver you out of this mess." Sometimes we need to be careful when we go and try to comfort people that are in problems and troubles, because we have that tendency too. Generally, when we hear something happening to somebody, we say, "Well, I wonder what they did to deserve that." That's generally the first thought that comes in before the Lord rebukes us and said, "Well, there's many reasons why I caused my children to suffer. Sin is only one of them." And as far as we know, Job had not sinned. He hadn't done anything. And yet he went through this great time of conflict and despair. And the only thing that he could find comfort in was his Lord. That's the only thing that gave him comfort, was his faith that he had in his God and the remembrance of certain truths and certain wonderful things about his God that he could lay hold of in this time of distress. Just for a second, read a few of these. Look with me in the 13th chapter of the book of Job. And notice in verses 15 and 16. Job was even despairing of life. He even cursed the day that he was born. He said, "Oh, this is a... I'd never even seen the light. I'd have been much better off than in the condition that I'm in right now." But notice what he says here in verses 15. He says, "Though he slay me," speaking about God, "though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own way before him. He also shall be my salvation." He says, he's my salvation. He's going to be my deliverance out of this. And then notice also in the 19th chapter and in verses 25 through 27, he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." He said, "Though he slay me, I'll trust him. But if he slay me," he says, "I've still got hope."
Amen.
He says, "I'll still see him."
Yep, right.
Face to face.
Amen. Amen.
Even if death is the end of this experience. And then in our text verse, we find that the patriarch of old said this, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." He encouraged himself in his Lord, didn't he? My friend, in the times of distress, many times that's the only place we can go for comfort, is to the Lord. He is a comfort to all of those that trust in him. And many times that's the only thing that will sustain us through the difficulties and trials and temptations of life that we find ourselves involved in. When everything else seems to have dissipated and disappeared and all hope seems to have gone, we still have hope in Jesus Christ our Lord. We've got hope in this life and the hope of life to come. I don't know your situation this afternoon. You might be in great distress. Or maybe it's a time of peace with you as far as your experience of living is concerned. But one thing I know, that distresses and tribulations and persecutions is going to be our lot.
Yes, sir. Right.
As believers.
Yes, sir.
The world doesn't understand that. Many times the world thinks that because you're troubled and have tribulations and problems that you're displeasing to God. Something's wrong with you. But the Bible tells us many are the afflictions of the righteous. But it doesn't leave it there, does it? But the Lord delivereth him from them all. I want to use this portion of Scripture in verse 10 primarily to try to encourage our hearts this afternoon. If you are going through distress, when distress does come, take the things that we say this afternoon and hide them in your heart. And lay a hold of them in the time of distress, and they'll give you some comfort. Mix them with faith. Believe them. Even when everything tells you don't believe it.
Yes.
Still believe it.
Right.
Because the Word of God is true.
Amen. That's right.
God will never fail.
Amen. Amen.
And any promise that He's ever made in His Word.
Amen.
The title of our message this afternoon is He Knoweth. He Knoweth. There's a lot contained in that that is beneath the surface. The first thought that I want to bring before you is this, that He's knowledgeable of it. There's not a thing that happens to a child of God that goes unnoticed with God.
Amen.
We're His beloved, aren't we?
Amen.
And the Bible teaches us that He's a good Father. He's concerned about every little detail of our life.
Amen. Amen.
Everything that happens to us, He's totally informed about. Job said in his portion of Scripture, he says, I can't find Him. He says, I prayed and it seems like the heavens are as brass above me. Doesn't seem like my prayers are getting through. He says, I've searched for Him. I've turned to the left. I've turned to the right. I've looked behind me. I've looked before me. I've gone to the places where I've seen His workings before, but I cannot perceive Him. Sounds like a place of total despair, doesn't it? But, I like that. I like that message, Brother Jones. And God butted in. But God butts in even in there. But God. But He knoweth. The way that I take. He knows it. He's familiar with it. Altogether familiar with it in every way. The promise of the Word of God is this. In all of your distresses, in all of your troubles, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
I never will. The promise in the book of Hebrews in the 13th chapter is that very promise, isn't it? And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the very word never there is not strong enough in the English. I think Brother Hancock brought out about three negatives. That is about the strongest that you can get. And if I think right, I believe that this never here really says this. I will never... No, never, no, never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen. Amen.
That's about as strong as you can get.
Amen.
When we find that Moses was about to leave the scene before they entered into the promised land, he gave instruction unto Joshua and he gave instruction also unto the Levites and the priests. And one of the things he encouraged them with was this. He'll never forsake you. He'll never forsake you. He'll be there when you need Him. In fact, He's there all the time. He's with you all the way. He knoweth the way that I take. We find the many of the promises in the Word of God. Look in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah in the 40th chapter, you say, well, many of these promises are unto Israel. Well, that is true. But are we not, as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, the children of Abraham? Are we not the true Israel of God? And do not these promises pertain unto us just as much as they did unto Israel, especially the promises of grace and mercy and supply? Notice here in the 10th verse of the 41st chapter of the book of Isaiah, he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness."
Amen.
It's a wonderful promise, isn't it? Especially when you're starting to go through some deep water. Lord not only promised to be with you, but He promised to help you. He promised to hold you up. He promised to strengthen you. Notice also in the same book, in the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, in verse 1 of that 43rd chapter, it says, "But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle against thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." Isn't that a wonderful promise?
Amen.
Free Hebrew children experienced that promise true. They were thrown in the fire. But the Lord said, "I'll be with you." And He was, wasn't He? And delivered them safely. He says, "I'm your Savior." Notice in the book of the Psalms, in the 73rd division of the Psalms, the 73rd Psalm, notice there in verses 23 through 26, this Psalm of Asaph, it says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever."
Amen.
The psalmist encouraged himself and the Lord too, didn't he? But the promise is what? "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I know all about the way because I'm right there with you." And Job says, "He knoweth the way that I take. He knoweth the way that I take." Now that's the obvious thing that is revealed there, isn't it? That the Lord's with us because He knows the way. He knows the way. But there's more to this knowing than just that He's knowledgeable about what is happening to us. He knows the way because He's the one that's ordained the way. In a universe that is sovereignly ruled by the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, nothing happens by chance.
Amen.
He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will.
Amen.
He knoweth the way, Job could say, because He's the one that's ordained it for me. Look in this same chapter, in the 23rd chapter of the book of Job, and see if this isn't exactly what Job had in mind here when he says, "He knoweth the way that I take." Notice there in verses 13 and 14. We read verses 10. But notice verse 13. "But He is of one mind, and who can turn Him?" You're not going to change God. God's already got everything determined. And you don't have to change. God doesn't have to change because He's perfect.
Amen.
You can't improve upon the providence of God. Yeah. We think we can sometimes, and sometimes we wish we could.
Yeah.
I would imagine probably if Job hadn't trusted in his Lord and understood this truth here, he probably would have said, "Oh, I wish God would take me out of it just like that. I'd be out of it right now." Sometimes we get to thinking that too. If I had my way about this mess, it'd be a lot different. But then down a few years later on, we look back on that situation and we praise God for the wholeness of what we experienced. But Job said this, he's of one mind, and he says, "Who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth." Then notice what it says here. "For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me." He says, that's what's happening to me has been appointed for me. And he's performing that. But not only that, but he's performing everything. That ETH on the end of that verb always gives me the indication that's something that's continuing. Without break. It's continuous. Every step of Job's life was ordained of God or ordered by the Lord, appointed to him.
Amen.
And that's so with all of us, isn't it?
Right.
But notice what he says. "And many such things are with him." But he says there, "He performeth the thing that is appointed for me." At the beginning of this trial, Job knew that, and Job retained that knowledge. God doesn't know it just simply because he is cognizant of what is happening to me, because he knows all things. And he knows the way because he's with me in the way, and he understands what I'm going through in that respect. But he knows it because this is an appointment that God has made for me. God has made it for me. It's God's appointment. In the very opening of the book, in the first chapter, when the devil was allowed of God to touch everything that Job had, and Job became a pauper overnight, and upon the heel of one messenger and another messenger, there was always the bad news that he has lost this herd, or he's lost that herd, or the servants were dead. And then finally it came the message that his children were killed by a whirlwind, all of them in one house at one time. What did Job do? Job rent his clothes, and he sorrowed. And there's nothing wrong with sorrow in the time of distress and the time of loss. I don't think he was sorrowing over his possessions. He was sorrowing over his children. I think there was a great sorrow was. But what did he say? He rent his clothes and he fell down and he worshipped the Lord. He worshipped his God and he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
Amen.
He looked beyond, as Brother Gordon said, look beyond the waves. Look at the master of the waves. He's the one that's got it all in control. He's the one that has ordained it all. And that gave him comfort. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He saw it was by the hand of his God, the hand of his Lord. Even after the devil was allowed to touch his body and he was afflicted from the top of his head to the sole of his feet with sore boils and a putrefying disease. And his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die? Is this the kind of God you serve?" And he looked upon her and he says, "You speak as one of the silly women speak." Should we not receive good and should we not also receive evil from his hand? Does he not have a right to do with us as he pleases?
Amen.
Is he not God? Are we not his? Not only by right of creation, but by right of redemption.
Amen.
But my friend, that's exactly the case in every one of our conditions. Remember that when things come to our life that cause us pain and distress, that it is the hand of God that has ordained it. It is the wisdom of God that has brought it to pass in our life. And we find in the book of the Psalms, in the 37th division of the Psalm, notice what it says in this portion of Scripture. Psalm 37, and in verses 23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps.
Amen.
Each step that is taken is ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
It's not the general flow of your life or the general aspect of your life or just the terminal end of your life that God has ordered. No, it's every step along the way.
Yes.
Every step. You say, well, if God really loved me, would he allow me to suffer such things? That's the devil speaking. The Lord knows exactly what we stand in need of, when we stand in need of it.
Amen.
And remember this. He always ordains that which is good for us.
Amen.
Job said in this portion of Scripture, he says, "He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold."
Amen.
Every trial, every tribulation, every suffering, every bit of pain that we experience as believers, it's a token of God's love. It's a token of His goodness towards us. Sometimes we talk about the dark side of grace. It's His grace. We don't deserve it. Doesn't it tell us in the book of Philippians, the first chapter in verse 29, it is not only given unto you in the behalf of Christ to believe upon His name, but also to suffer for His name's sake? Suffering is part of God's wonderful grace. It's His goodness toward us. We might not understand it the moment that they're going through it, but at least let us believe it. Because there's where the comfort is. The comfort is knowing that He knoweth the way because He hath ordained my steps.
Yeah. Amen.
He's ordered them.
Amen.
And Job found his comfort in the Lord by looking beyond his troubles to the great God of his salvation, to the Lord that he trusted in. The Lord will not lay upon us anything that we're not able to bear. God knows exactly how far to take us. He knows exactly how much affliction to lay upon us.
Amen.
How much distress of soul to allow us to experience. But He always upholds us. In the book of 1 Corinthians in the 10th chapter in verse 13. Listen to what it tells us here. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man." Now sometimes we have problems with that too. We think that we're the only ones that's ever experienced this. And when you get in that condition, you really are in trouble. It will give you some comfort to understand and realize that others have experienced the same things before you. It's common to man, the things that we experience. It's not just particular to you. And God has always been merciful and gracious in their behalf. I believe that's one reason that Job's life has been, this portion of his life has been recorded for us. To understand and realize that there are people that suffer more than we have suffered. And yet the grace of God was always greater.
Amen.
And always brought them through it. But he says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful." God is faithful. "Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able?" Sometimes we come to the very brink of it and says, "I can't bear this anymore." Job had been brought to that place. He despaired of life. And sometimes we come to that place too, such deep troubles and deep distresses of life and bodily pain and mental anguish and troubles and tribulations that we say, I can't take it anymore. You're still here though, aren't you? God hath not tempted you above what you're able. But he says here, who is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but with the temptation also will make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He makes a way of escape. You know what that way of escape is? It's our high tower. It's our solid rock. It's Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's not only the way to salvation and eternal life, but he's the way of deliverance in the time of trouble too. When you go to him by faith, you'll find that he's always a sympathizing, able deliverer. And he might be like Job though. You might pray and you might pray and you might pray and you say, I don't think God's hearing me. But listen, God's hearing you. His ear is always open to the cries of his people. But he's waiting for that time to be gracious. He's waiting for that exact time when his purpose will be fulfilled in your life and you'll come forth as gold. Amen. And you'll find that the latter end is better than the beginning. Amen. You'll be like Job, you'll know your God better. And you'll know yourself better too. Job's latter end was better than the beginning with him, wasn't it? You read in the 42nd chapter of the book of Job and you'll find out that God blessed him doubly. Doubly. In the book of 1 Thessalonians is a scripture that I've endeavoring to try to practice. I'm still learning. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You say it's hard to give thanks for everything. I know it is. Because we're so lacking in faith. Sometimes we're like those disciples on that troubled sea. Lord, don't you care? We're perishing. Too many times we're like that. But this portion of Scripture is exactly what we've been trying to say, that God hath ordered all things. Why are we to be thankful and give thanks for all things? And everything give thanks. For this is. Not just the giving of thanks is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, but this thing that you're experiencing, the everything that you experience in life, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When you get to heaven, you won't want it any other way. When God saved you, yea, when God chose you in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, did he not therein bless you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in heavenly places? Every blessing. And is not those blessings also the sufferings and the trials of life? When he chose us in Christ Jesus, did he not also ordain the course? Did he not also there order our steps in the Lord? Sure he did. And that means the sufferings and the pains of life. I can look back in my life and some things that I thought were terrible at the time I experienced them. I could give you some personal experiences, but I'm not good at telling tales like Brother Asbury. I tell you what, the people down in North Carolina got two opposites. Brother Asbury is very fluent and very conversational. I mean, he can talk and he can make...
Go ahead, brother.
No, and make things, you know, enjoyable to hear. I enjoy listening to Brother Asbury talk. But I'm just the opposite. I'm a good hearer, good listener. That's where Brother Mitchell Smith and I always used to get along so well. Mitchell would talk and I'd listen. But I'm not that way. I guess I'm too close, personally. But I can tell you there's been times in my life that I have not been able to thank the Lord for the things that have happened to me. But down the line, a few years, I can look back and I can see the hand of God, how He was leading through that distress of life and how He brought me to where I'm at.
Yes. Amen.
And I can now thank the Lord. But I'm still trying to learn that when problems come into my life and distresses and things that perplex me and things that I feel are evil, I'm still trying to be mature enough to say, thank you, Lord. I praise you for it because I know it's for my good and because you love me. Now that's hard to do. I think that's a measure of spiritual maturity. That's what Job had here. He was a perfect man. Didn't mean he was without sin, but it mean he was a mature Christian.
Amen.
Mature believer. And that's why he could say, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We all ought to try to be like that.
Amen.
But truly, we do know that all things do work together for good to them who love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. We know that, don't we, in our minds and in our hearts.
Amen.
But sometimes it's hard to mix it with faith.
Amen.
And when it doesn't mix with faith, when the time of tribulation comes, it doesn't profit us anything. It doesn't give us any comfort. But it did Job, didn't he? Because he mixed it with faith.
Right.
He says, I know that He knows the way that I take.
Yes.
And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When He has.
Yes.
And I know that this which has been I've been experiencing, God knows all about it because God ordered every step of the way.
Yes.
God ordered it all.
Amen.
And it's in His hands. And He's the one who's loved me and saved me by His wonderful grace. But there's another thought in this too, which I believe is even more comforting. He knoweth the way that I take. He knoweth it. Because He stepped in the steps.
Amen.
He's experienced it.
Amen.
We find that He knows the way because He personally has experienced it and is yet experiencing. You say, is He still experiencing? Yes. I'll read you a portion of Scripture which I believe will show us definitely that the Lord's just not pitiful unto His children and just understands it, but He feels it. He feels
yeah.
it. Our God loves us so much that He gave His Son to purchase and to redeem us. But our Lord also loved us enough to bring His Son into this world, not only to shed His blood for our sins, to cleanse us and to reconcile us unto Himself, but that Jesus Christ, in the 33 years that He lived upon this earth, would experience the same troubles and tribulations that we experience. That He might be able to succor us.
Yes. Amen.
There might not be any comforters in this earth as far as people that understand what you're going through. And sometimes you might run across maybe somebody that has gone through the same thing that you're going through, and with the comfort that they've been comforted with, they can comfort you. But sometimes you might not find somebody that understands your distress.
That's right.
But there's always one that does.
Amen.
And that's the Lord.
Amen.
And one of the reasons that He took upon Himself sin's flesh, He had no sin, but He experienced all of the effects of sin. The hatred of men, weakness, hunger, thirst, poverty, desertion, defaming. All of those things that are a result of sin, Jesus Christ experienced them all. Even death of loved ones. That's why we don't find Joseph in any of the later Gospels, as far as the latter part of the Gospels. He died. And I believe Jesus loved him as a father, even though he wasn't his earthly father. But he even understood that. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, in the second chapter, it says here in verse 17 of that second chapter of Hebrews, it says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God."
Amen.
"To make reconciliation for the things or the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted."
Amen.
You know how he succors you? With the same succor he received from his Father. He trusted in his God and in his Father in all the times of distress. And the Father comforted him and strengthened him. And so he turns around, having received that knowledge as a man of God in his heart. And when we come to him now, he does what? He succors us with the same comfort that he himself was comforted with. Because he experienced it. The Lord Jesus Christ experiences everything that you've ever experienced or ever will experience. You think you've gone through troubles and trials and bodily pain and anguish and turmoil of soul and of heart and mind? Just look at Calvary. Look at the cross of Calvary. Job didn't even suffer as much as Christ went through at that time. And he literally was forsaken of his God. That Job could say, "I know the way, that he knoweth the way that I take." That he could lay hold of that promise that the Lord would never forsake him, because Jesus Christ was forsaken of his Father.
Amen.
When he was made sin for us. But that rejoices my heart, that I have someone that I can go to that is touched with the feelings of my infirmities.
Amen.
Even in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, does it not tell us this very thing in verse 14? It says, "Seeing then that we have an high priest, a great high priest, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." And that's one thing you didn't find Job doing, did you? He held fast his profession.
Right.
He did not curse God, did he?
Right.
No, he says, I'll hold to his ways.
That's right.
I'll be faithful. Right. And that's one thing we need to learn too in the times of trials.
Amen.
Just be faithful unto the Lord in them.
Amen.
Don't let them be that which separates you from your God. Nothing more could be harmful to the child of God than to allow his tribulations to drive him from his Lord, the only place of comfort and the only place of consolation, and then also have the Lord chastise him on top of it. But we find definitely, it says here that we have an high priest that is passed into the heavens, that's left this veil of tears, that suffered in every point of suffering that we could ever experience in this life. He says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched
with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Because we've got a great high priest that knows what we're going through. And the Bible says he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched with them. Don't forsake the only way of escape.
Amen.
Let the first sign of trouble flee to your high tower.
Amen. Right.
Flee to your place of defense.
Amen.
Flee to the place of safety.
Yes.
It's even Jesus Christ, our Lord,
Amen.
Our great high priest. He's touched with the feelings of our infirm. He knows because he's experienced it.
Yes.
And he can comfort.
Amen.
He can comfort. There's a portion of Scripture in the book of Isaiah, the 63rd chapter. He's not only touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but I believe as the Lord goes with us in the way, he's one with us in the way.
Amen.
By that I mean that he suffers with us when we suffer. In this 63rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, we find here concerning the remnant, the great time of distress that was going to come upon Israel, but also the great day of vengeance of the Lord. And I want you to notice what he said here in verse 7. Let's start reading verse 7. He says, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord. This 63rd chapter of Isaiah, verse 7. And the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us in the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction, now listen to this, in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. He's not only touched with it, he not only has sympathy towards it, but do you realize that the Lord feels that pain because he is afflicted with it also?
Amen.
So vitally connected are you to your Savior, Jesus Christ. As a child of his, that there's not one thing that you feel that he doesn't feel.
Amen.
He's afflicted with all of their afflictions.
Yes.
He knows it because he experiences it.
Amen.
He's not only experienced it, but he experiences it.
Amen.
He's with you in your afflictions.
Amen.
And he knows all about it. Lay some of these wonderful truths in your heart.
Amen.
And mix them by faith.
Yes,
believe them. They're still true whether you believe them or not, but the consolation comes in believing.
Amen.
Trusting. That's where the prophet is.
Amen.
And that's where the patience of Job comes in.
Amen.
The patience of hope that he had in his God. He knoweth the way that I take. And I know that when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But notice the next verses. In the 23rd chapter. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept. and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Make the Lord your joy and your stay, and keep his steps. Continue to serve him. You say, oh, I could serve the Lord a lot better if I wasn't afflicted like I am, if I wasn't suffering like I am. You wouldn't.
That's right.
We have the mistaken thought that if everything were just smooth and going along well, I could really rejoice in the Lord, I could really serve God. No, you serve him where you're at.
That's right.
If it's in the time of affliction, serve him there.
Amen.
Praise him for it. Thank him for it. Have the consolation that his word can give you.
Amen.
And that his presence can bestow. Take this scripture and hide it in your heart. Troubles will come. I'm glad I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. But as the song says, I'm glad I know who holds tomorrow.
Amen.
The Lord bless you.
Amen.